Hello, excellent. Talk TKD episode 6. We've got a treat for you. We've got an interview with Senior Master Ray Gale, 8th degree black belt. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Welcome everyone.
Yeah. Obviously, as most of you know, Master Gale's been my instructor since I was 7, and Mike's since he was 5. Watched us growing up, and
yeah, so we have,
and we're still here, still rocking up. how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, just recovering from the we had our English Championships yesterday, which of course you did well and won your division, which is nice. Good to see, and as you say, I'm probably obviously being yourself and your brother's instructor for such a long time. I'm still just as excited seeing you win as I always was, and although when I'm at the tournament I have to be in my master guise and be cool, the excitement is still there nonetheless. So yeah, I'm doing well, and it's nice to see that the tournament went well and everyone had a good time. So yeah,
excellent. Yeah, good stuff. Definitely. All the feedback from my students were they loved it, and it was a really great tournament for us. And thanks. Also, take the opportunity to say thank you for coming out to Italy as well. To watch us. I assume when I heard that you were coming, I assumed that you were there for official business and could try and catch the tournament a little bit if you could, but yeah, yourself and Master Rowe came out just to support us, which meant a lot to me and to everyone else. I know.
Yeah, well, to be honest, we really well, I really enjoy it, and both of us really enjoyed it, and I think that like I said, I'm not particularly good at being an 8th degree master. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but I love spectating. I love being part of the crowd and the cheering and watching the team do well, and you know, myself and Master Rowe sit there and look at the things that we think, oh yeah, we would have done this, or oh, they did really well, or yeah, we can use that. And it's nice just to sit and analyse it and sit back and see what the modern day Taekwondo fighters are doing, and the slight difference in styles perhaps from the days when we were fighting. Still more or less the same. I mean, kicking and punching is kicking and punching, yeah. But I think with perhaps certain rule changes and the fact that we've got the electronic scoring, which we never had in our days, does make it a slightly different spectacle. Mm. So yeah, it's nice. We're hoping to go to a lot more, and follow the team a bit more, and hopefully follow the team and see their success, if you like. And that's not just winning; that's just doing well, whether they win or lose. So yeah.
Sure. Excellent. Yeah, well, it's always great to have the support of A, senior masters, and B, your instructor from when you were a child. It's always meaningful. I remember when you coached me for my first ever international.
Yeah,
Argentina, 2002.
Wow. That was it 2002? Was it?
Yeah, wow. 13 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a bit of a culture shock for me as a 14-year-old. My first ever ITF competition, and it's the Junior World Championships in Argentina.
Well, I remember it well. I remember it very, very well. It was really interesting because we had a few youngsters there as well. Obviously, you were part of the team, and to be honest, we were taking you guys out really for experience than anything, because I know it was your first sort of major one, and I mean it was a very intimidating atmosphere.
Yeah,
for any, even for older experienced fighters, but for young fighters their first time, that was getting into the snake pit, I think.
Yeah.
It was very, very intimidating, very loud. It was a huge stage to be fighting on. So, all of you did really well to do what you did, and hopefully it sort of set you on the road to, where you are today.
Yeah, I definitely came out as my dad said, you went in a boy and came out a bashed up semi-man.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say the certainly Argentinians were taken no prisoners that day.
Yeah.
And, or that weekend or whatever. But yeah, no, it was a good event, and as I said, it was nice from my point of view as an instructor to see your students, go from a young lad coming in, to train hard, work hard, get to that level, and just to be able to get to that level was a massive achievement. And I'm sure now you're teaching yourself, you'll probably feel the same. You'll have students that'll go on, trying to get to the levels that you've reached and maybe even surpass it. You never know. But I think that from an instructor's point of view, it's certainly, it is our job really to make people better than we were, give them everything that we've got and try and pass on as much as we can. That's the mark of a true instructor, not holding it back, and just giving what you can, and hopefully seeing them achieve. And even though I have to stop and still live in my tournament career through you guys,
I opened my school with your help, I remember and always remind myself to this day that if I can give somebody else the opportunities, in Taekwondo and competitively, but also outside of that, the learning and the teaching that I've got from you over the years, if I can offer half of what you've given me, then I'll deem that a success. Obviously a lot of people have similar situation, I'm sure, is when, sort of been part of my development as a person, as well as a martial artist and stuff like that. And something that Taekwondo quite easily transcends just the sport coach. It's, so much more than that. And something that I was thinking about this morning, actually. It's a question that I've been pondering, and I've wondered about your opinion on it. It's two pronged question. A, I would say that a lot of people would consider you quite a spiritual person.
All right, yeah.
And A, what you think of the word spiritual, what that kind of means to you,
sure.
Would you put that term to your sort of character, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what I've tried to do, I mean, I sort of try and link the word spiritual to the Do side of the art for me.
Sure.
They are sort of one of the same. I'm not a deeply religious person or anything like that, but I consider myself a spiritual person in the fact that I like to think that the do side of the art is important. I think whatever level you are at, and I think you think about it more the older you get, and the longer you stay within Taekwondo or within a martial art, I think you start to think about it simply because I think it's a natural way of things. Because when you're younger, you are more into the physical, and it's about the your fitness levels. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still about that to me. I mean, I want to keep my fitness levels. I want to train for as long as I can. But I think the spiritual side for me is very important in the sense that I try and hopefully teach it through example, by trying to do what's right, really. I think it's difficult to sit someone down and say, this is what you need to do, this is da-da-da-da-da-da. I think you have to first, people have to first see you trying to at least live it yourself, and at least see you doing the right thing. It may not always be the popular thing, of course, but hopefully people will see it as the right thing. And to me, that's all tied into the spiritual side, that's all tied into the Do side, the tenets of Taekwondo, that courtesy, integrity. Yesterday at a tournament, to me, kids are coming, oh, Masquel, can I have a picture with you? I say, of course. And I never refuse that, because to me, that those youngsters, when they're at the same level, they'll carry it on. Masquel never refused a picture, why should I? And to me, that's about the spiritual side. That's hopefully teaching them a little bit of courtesy. Even though sometimes I'm busy and the last thing I want to do is take a picture, I always do. Sure. Because I think that it's important. It only takes a few seconds. you know, it gets me to smile as well. and I think it's nice. And like I say, I think all those things are teaching tools, really. Mm. Hopefully teaching in a roundabout way the spiritual side of martial arts and taekwondo and how you perhaps should be as a human being. I'm not putting myself up as a beacon. I think there's, you know, there's things that I think, well, you know, I made a mess of that, or I could have done that right, or, you know, perhaps I should have done this, or... And we always question ourselves, but I think it's good to question.
I was about to say that that's
yeah.
I think we have to, a sign of
We have to be able to look back at ourselves and think, you know, what I did there, was it right? How could I handle that better? Whatever. But to me, that's part of the spiritual side as well, as being able to look at yourself and say, I was wrong, or to go and apologise to someone and say, look, I'm really sorry. You know, to try and have that humility to do that. Mm. To me, again, is really teaching by example. So,
I think this is one for the masses that I think people that have graded under you might be interested in. A common grading question within our association is sometimes if you could add a sixth tenet.
All right. Yeah.
What would it be? And I was wondering if you'd be prepared to share what your answer to that question would be. Please, sir.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I remember when we met General Che in the start of Puma. I think it was Master Black actually asked him that question, and he said that he said that the tenets really are it. You know, everything other tenets are really within those tenets. Mm. So you know, he was saying that things like loyalty. Well, you could really talk about that with integrity and stuff like that. So you know, I could give the same answer. To be honest, I think if I was to add a tenet, sounds a bit strange, but it would be perhaps to observe the tenets a bit more and understand them.
Sure.
You know, and maybe it's understanding. I don't know. I think it's difficult because you can, you know, there's so many other virtues, I think, out there, but you could probably link them all to the tenets of Taekwondo. But I think it's understanding the tenets, really, you know, it's saying, you know, courtesy is, it's not just about, you know, shaking hands correctly with someone in a martial arts dojang, or bowing as you go in or bowing as you leave. To me, it's much more than that. Mm. You know, it's about the way you are as a person. And arguably, it's easy to do it in the dojang. Mm. It's tough to do it outside of the dojang when, you know, people aren't watching.
Mm.
You know, nobody else is watching, but, you know, you're being courteous because actually that's the right thing to do. Mm. Not because if people don't see me being courteous, I might not be able to take my grading.
do
you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, there's that. If I was going to say one, and it would be linked to integrity, if I sort of separate it, it would be honesty in a way, because I'm the sort of person, so I do actually want people to tell me what they think, even though they may not think it's what I want to hear.
Sure.
You know, because I'd rather people say, well, actually I'm not happy with this, because I say, well, okay, you know, sit down and talk about it. So to me, you know, that would come down as integrity, really. But I think that's important. And it's become more important to me as a sort of head of association, because I want people to be happy with what they're doing. And if they feel there's something wrong, to come and say, well, actually, I don't agree with this.
Mm.
And also, in my position, I need to be honest with people as well. You know, so I'm doing this because, or, you know, this costs this because, or, you know, this is where this money is going, or this is where that... And to be upfront and be open with people.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, if I had to have another tenet, it would be difficult, I would say, probably honesty, but that comes with integrity, so maybe it's all covered.
It's totally what you said. The tenets are kind of, in a way, all encompassing. I think something that mirrors that, so I know that on a lot of your emails you'll sign off with Master Gale, honour to serve. And I think that's extremely reflective of what you do for us, because it's in a way, almost traditionally, it feels like it's backwards, because you're the eighth degree master, but you are it all working for us, you know, that everything that you do, you know, anyone that, you know, has any contact with you will know that you're an extremely busy man, and but you're very selfless with that time, which, again, as you link back to leading by example, is just great for everyone. As you say, you know, that's what I think that I love about you as a master, is that actually you don't need to talk that much. We just need to observe your actions, and your message is quite clear in that. I think I think it's very easy as an instructor and a teacher to kind of stand up and say, okay, you know, you need to do this, that, and the other, or I want this, that, and the other from you, like, which, you know, you rarely do, and in a way, this is going to make it sound quite cultish, I guess, but to have you as a role model, I think of it in the same way as like a Christian would ask, you know, well, you've got a moral conundrum. What do you think Jesus would do? Type thing. Yeah. Now I'm saying it out loud, it kind of sounds a bit ridiculous comparing to Jesus. But it, for you know, for me as a young man growing up, it's you know, I do have that comparison to make it and things to draw. I think, well, okay, you know, I have this situation. You know, how would you know the people that I respect handle this situation and try and do it as close to that as possible, failing miserably on several occasions, I will add, but
we'll do a bit of that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've been very lucky in that, you know, for a young man growing up, I've been filled with these fantastic male role models. Obviously, starting first off with my dad, you know, was absolutely fantastic, and then I've just got all these other people to sort of guide me by. The mistakes that I make are very much my own and from, you know, lack of understanding rather than anything else.
I appreciate it. Whereas, I mean, I think it's important to me as an individual, because I've never been a money motivated person per se. To me, I've always been a people motivated person and motivated to sort of try and, you know, help and do what I can. And I think I find it very, very early in my martial arts career that I realised that as an instructor, I realised that actually you do have a massive impact on people's lives. You know, you can have a positive one or a negative one. And I think that it's important, particularly with the younger ones coming through. I sort of look at them and I think, well, you know, what can I teach? What can I teach them? Yeah, I can teach them to kick and punch. And I can teach them to, and hopefully motivate them to do 15 or 20 press-ups or do the extra one or whatever. But what is that lasting value I can give them? I'm not saying that isn't lasting value, but I think what you can give them is perhaps some lessons for life, and hopefully, like I said, I don't want to compare myself with any deity or anything like that, I just think that as martial arts instructors, we do have a responsibility to sort of try and educate particularly our youngsters, and maybe some of the older ones in the right way. And I actually think if you can do that, you get a better rounded person. You get people within your school that attract other people, because like attracts like. And if you've got nice people in your school, it's going to attract other nice people. Mm. And to me, you know, it's all reciprocal. You know, whatever I give out, I get back. You know, and I've had so much joy from seeing you guys, seeing all my students do well, and you know, seeing them say grow from boy to man, and some of them get married, some of them have kids, and I mean that's a fantastic thing to be part of. And so, yeah, no, I really am honoured to serve. I feel particularly blessed in the position that I am, that I've actually managed to come in contact with so many lovely people who've actually put themselves in my hands, you know, and said, all right, you know, teach me or whatever. Mm. And to me, that's quite a humbling experience. Sure. You know, I hope it stops as long as I can. It never stops, and the only time it stops is when they knock the nails in, and that's it. But you know, I've got no.
I hope so too, sir.
Well, I've got no intention to retire. I always said to myself, I'm never retiring from this. You know, I think you only retire from jobs you hate. Yeah. I don't hate this, so I'm always going to be there, and as long as my body will let me. Mm. And if my body doesn't let me, then I'll just talk it. So
excellent. Cool. So obviously, you've accomplished a lot in many different avenues, as we were discussing earlier, as an athlete, as an instructor, as a master, as a figurehead. Is there still anything to go? Is there still anything that's on the list that you want to achieve that you haven't done so already?
Yeah, I think so. I think that I am a big goal setter. I like to set goals. When I was competing, I set physical goals, or you know, perhaps trying to achieve this or trying to achieve that, and trying to get that for myself. So I truly believe that, you know, without setting those goals, whether they be physical or whatever they are, then you know that motivation to do anything disappears, and you know you need a reason to get out of bed, I think. Yeah, I have. I mean, obviously, you know, I've been involved with the project in Ghana, in building the sort of martial arts school out there, and building, putting in place a foundation in West Africa. So I'd like to see that develop and keep developing, you know, and hopefully trying to get a Ghanaian team to come to one of our events, one of our World Open events, and you know, to me that would be a huge milestone, just to see where we've come in 10 short years. Mm. of being involved with that. So yeah, that's a motivation for me. I'd still like to see, you know, not necessarily Puma grow in numbers, mm. but certainly grow as an organisation, in the sense that, you know, have more senior grades, more masters within Puma. The bottom line is that although I never want to retire, I think it's important to say to people that, you know, my time in this position is done. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your position now, and you need to carry this on. I'd still like to be there. I mean, I love working for an organisation, but I realise that certain things, that I can't hang on to everything for everything. I've got to give it away. But yeah, so motivations within Puma, ambitions within Puma, seeing how it develops, you know, in the next sort of 10, 15, 20 years. Mm. Say motivation with the Ghana project. Mm. For my own, I've got my own physical motivation as well, because I still want to be able to teach physically, you know, 25 years from now. Mm. And to be able to say, okay, you know, this is a walking stance and do it, or this is this and do it. Mm. Okay. You know, I'm struggling with a lot of stuff physically, because of a skin problem which I have to deal with, and you know, I had a problem with my hip and whatever. But for me, I still need to be, when I stand in front of that class, I still need to look like a martial artist, and for people to say, well, actually, yeah, you know, I want to be like this particular individual, mm-hmm. And because they've got some qualities that I like. So for me, that's an ongoing motivation. It's an ongoing move, and that, you know, and I think is, that's it for me, really. Those sort of things motivate me, and obviously my friendship with everybody within the organisation, senior grades and students as well. Mm. You know, that still motivates me to keep going and go to the tournaments, speak to people, and enjoy it. Mm. So, yeah,
excellent. Well, yeah, we are.